Parshas Nitzavim will begin in Dvarim Perek Chavtes, Pasuk Chavches. And basically, we're going to be learning the Psukim almost one after the other. Each Pasuk has a very important message for us. So let's begin with Pasuk Chaf Ches, and that's going to be the only Pasuk in Perek Chaf Tes that we're going to focus on, and after that, we'll go on to Perek Lamed. That's where we're going to put all most of our work tonight. But the last Pasuk in Perek Chaf Tes reads the following. A very, very famous Pasuk. Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu Vaniglos lonu ulvanenu adolam, lasos es kol divrei Torah zos. Let's read it in the English translation. The hidden things belong to the Lord your God, but the revealed things apply to us and to our children forever, that we must fulfill all the words of this Torah. Now, what we're seeing here is called a bris. And once the people of Israel are ready to accept the Torah, then they must enter into a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch. And we saw the details of the covenant in last week's parasha. There were two groups of Jews, of Shvatim, that were divided into Har Gerizim and Har Eval. And this introduces the concept, as Rashi points out here, of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, which means mutual responsibility. We're part of one community, we're entering into a bris as a community, and that bris is a commitment to fulfill God's will, and we're all responsible one for the other. However, Hanistaros L'Hashem Elokeinu, Rashi points out that what you have in your heart, if heaven forbid you have the wrong, ill feelings or intentions in your heart, that's called nistaros. I cannot be responsible for that. I cannot know what's in your heart. And therefore, Lashem Elokeinu. But our commitment is lanu ulvanenu, meaning those who are participating in the community of Lasos, of Asiya, we can begin to see not what's in their hearts, but what's in their actions. So the emphasis here is the word Haniglos Lasos. So Haniglos, that which is revealed, that which we're responsible for, is in the world of Asiya. And Rashi emphasized that now we've gone beyond the world of Nistar, of inner feelings, thoughts, intentions. Now we're out in the objective world of action. And we see this in Tanakh over and over again. For example, after Yoshua crosses the Jordan, he reaches the city of Ai, and he imposes an oath on the people going out to battle that they will not take from the booty. And the punishment for taking from the booty was meted out. In Ai, they lost the battle, and tens of Jews died, all because of one Jew who took from the booty. His name was Achan. And that's the concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. This concept is a halachic concept. It has legal implications. For example, if we both share the same responsibility, the same obligation, then I can recite, let's say, a bracha, I could read a Megillah for you, I could recite Hallel on your behalf, you listen to my recitation, and I could be motzi you because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. And the essence of that principle is that I'm responsible to see to it that you fulfill your obligation. Until I do so, I haven't fulfilled my obligation. So I have a personal chiyuv, not only in terms of my chovas gavra, but also to see to it that you fulfill your mitzvah. And until you do so, I have not fulfilled my personal obligation, and therefore I'm obligated because you're obligated. I share your chiyuv, and therefore I become a bar chiyuva. So let's say, for example, I already recited Hallel, but you haven't recited Hallel. How can I recite Hallel now for you if I already fulfilled my obligation? But the answer is I have not yet fulfilled my obligation. Because arvus, mutual responsibility, means that until you have fulfilled your obligation, I haven't fulfilled mine. So I become a bar chiyuva in a magical way, according to Jewish law, because I share the obligation together with you, even though I already fulfilled the mitzvah. So that mutual responsibility, which is established here in Haniglos, Lanu Lefanenu Ad Olam Lasos, is a halachic principle that has tremendous repercussions. It's not just what you call a theoretical construct. It's practical and it's real. Now, in terms of sin, we've been talking about mitzvahs like Hallel and Megillah and Brachos, but now we flip it over to sin. I'm responsible for your sin. And that means that if I could have done something, whatever it might have been, to prevent you, to inhibit you from sinning, and I failed to do so, then by not living up to that mutual responsibility, I am now faulted for sin, even though I didn't do the sin. You committed the sin, and yet I'm considered at fault. And basically the principle here, both on the mitzvah side and the avera side, is what we call identification. I identify with you, and you with me. And that mutual reciprocal identification creates a principle which is called Kol Yisrael Arevim Zevazet. But again, it only applies to Niglos, not to Nistaros, as Rashi points out, because I cannot be responsible for what is Nistar, for what's in your heart. So basically, what this means is that the Jew does not live in isolation. We can take this one step further, and it can reflect on Jewish history. Wherever a Jew is, he's considered to blame, and all Jews are taken to blame by our enemies, our adverse nations, and they blame the entire people, the entire nation, for the sin of an individual. So that Kol Yisrael Arevim Zevazet, which is a purely halachic construct, also has a psychological application. The goyim don't know that Kol Yisrael Arevim Zevazet. They never studied that halacha. But they do blame the entire people for the sin of the individual. And we saw this throughout Europe, in France, and in many, many other countries, where the sins and the iniquities of one individual Jew is cause to blame for the entire Jewish nation. And what that means is that we don't live in isolation. There's no concept of Robinson Crusoe with regard to the Jew. The Jew lives in the community, in the society, where he likes to or he doesn't like to. He can try to run away from the Jewish society and lock himself up in a room. It won't help him. He's constantly called upon to be part of the community, and that's a demand. And what this means is that with regard to Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, the individual is responsible for both. If he does good, and in the eyes of the goyim, the Jew is now, wow, look what this Jew did. And there are many, many stories about how individual goyim, who didn't have a particular love for the Jewish people, but they met one Jew, they had even in their childhood, they say this about the former president of the United States, that in his youth he had an Orthodox Jew who bailed him out in a situation that he found himself in crisis. And that's a Kiddush Hashem. On the other hand, if a Jew misbehaves, that's considered a Chilul Hashem. The name of Hashem is identified with the Jewish people, but not just the nation as a whole, but with every single individual. So the mitzvah of sanctifying God's name is another example and a manifestation of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zevazet, in which I live not as an individual but as a representative of the entire community. And that's the concept of shared responsibility, and it impacts on Chil Hashem as well, because there is a collective, so to speak, consciousness of the people of Israel, and if one individual is in violation, it really impacts on the entire community. The Gemara tells us a story about one of the families of Kohanim called the Bilga family. And they were what's called in Divrei HaYomim one of the Mishmaros of the Kohanim. And the Mishnah tells us at the end of Masechta Sukkah that there were certain penalties, what we call knasos, that were imposed on the Mishmeres of Bilga. They lost certain rights in the Beis HaMikdash. And why? Because one particular family was guilty, again, within the larger family of Mishmeres Gilda, which is made up of many, many different families, but one of those families was guilty in not raising their daughter properly. As a result, she married a Greek officer at the time that the Greeks were persecuting the Jews. Imagine a Jewish girl joining up with the enemies. And the Gemara tells us how far this went. She was not only an apostate, but she went into the Mikdash, and when the Greeks, like her husband, were defiling the Mikdash, she started banging on the Mizbeach and hitting it with a sandal and insulting the Mizbeach. Why are you consuming all the karbanos that cost so much money to the Jewish people and you're not even protecting the Jewish people? Look how the Greeks are coming over to desecrate your holy temple, and they are subjugating the Jews to religious persecution. And the Rishonim asked the question, and the Gemara really touches on the question, why is it that the entire Mishmeres of Bilga should be punished for the iniquities of one girl who came from this? So first the Gemara says, well, the parents were guilty. They didn't educate her properly. And then the Gemara says, but the entire enterprise of Mishmeres Bilga was punished. So that one family was connected to another, and there was mutual responsibility and influence. And it's very interesting, because this concept of mutual responsibility expresses itself in punishment as well. As we saw in the case of Beis Bilga, the entire Mishmeres is punished. So that shared responsibility means shared liability. And liability means punishment. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Dayan, he's not a Vatron, and he punishes for evil. And now, he's going to punish the people of Israel for the sins that they could have possibly prevented, even though there were sins of other people. And here I'd like to open up to a pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar, just for a moment, don't lose the place. But if you open up to Bamidbar, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Chaf Beis, you will see that in Parshas Korach, in the aftermath of the Korach rebellion, Moshe and Aaron pleaded with God, because the divine wrath was generated by the sin, the rebellion of Korach, and God thought to destroy the entire people of Israel. And Moshe and Aaron pleaded with Hashem, because if one man sins, you get angry at the entire community. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of the power of the prayers of Moshe and Aaron, made an exception to the rule. And he only punished Korach v'Adasa, the congregation of Korach, the 250 men who were swallowed up by the earth. But if not for the power inherent in the prayers of Moshe and Aaron, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, heaven forbid, would have let out his anger on the entire people. Which means, again, mutual responsibility and liability, the single person who sins, in this case Korach, and yet the community as a whole is responsible for his misbehaviors. They should have somehow induced him and influenced him to go the right way. So that we have now not just a consciousness of a single individual, but that consciousness of a single individual expands to include all his fellow Jews. And this is the tremendous fundamental power that's written here in this pasuk, that every individual Jew represents and is responsible for the entire Jewish community. Now we begin our main chapter for tonight, and that's Perek Lamed. We begin with Pasuk Aleph. And the Torah says that V'hoya ki yavo eilecha kol advarma eilu abrocha v'aklola, when these things will come upon you, the blessings and the curses, asher nasati l'fanecha, that I mentioned in the previous parasha, in Har Grizim, Har Evol, v'ashevosa el v'avecha, b'chol ha-goyim asher hidichacha Hashem Elokecha shom. The literal translation is, you will consider in your heart all the nations where the Lord your God has banished you. So now we're focused on the klol of golos, of exile, and we're going to have to think and put in our hearts the thoughts about the banishment by the nations of our people. And the word that the Torah uses for banishment is hidichacha. This word appears in another parasha in the Torah called the parasha of Ir Hanidachas, where the Torah says, earlier in Sefer Dvarim, you can open it up to Perek Yud Gimel, and it says, Yatsu Anoshim Bnei Belial, and it means that unfaithful, evil people have gone forth amongst you. And then it says, V'yidchaku es asher iram, which means that they lead the inhabitants astray. Astray is another form of banishment. In the metaphoric sense, we have a case where the metaphor is a person is banished from his own home, from his own city. And that's a metaphor for a person being led astray from his basic fundamental beliefs. And that's what happened in the parasha of Ir Hanidachas, when these Bnei Belial were madichim also. So that the word Dalid Ches Hey Docha means removing something from its place, banishing it, but it really means to turn it upside down and to change its beliefs, its opinions, its ideas, to have such a fundamental impact on a person's dedication to one God.